This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, it's 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, and I speak to you as a customer. Incredible buying experience. Best one I've had buying a car. And end up exactly what I hoped to get and the financing that went with it. But maybe I went Ford, but maybe Kia Hyundai. They've got a great selection of brand new vehicles there and pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a terrific service department that backs it up, whether it's inspections or routine maintenance or something difficult, they handle it all. And it's Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Doug Birdsong texted me about an hour ago and said that an individual by the name of Joey Foster sent in a picture of us together at a Williamsport Crosscutters baseball game. And I guess they put it on WNEP this morning. I asked Doug if I looked friendly.
Probably depends on what time of day it was, right?
Nah. Joey, it was very nice to meet you. And very kind of you to send a picture in. So, very nice. All right. Where to start? First of all, Penn State, Kent State is going to be 3:30 on BTN. So Penn State, Kent State, 3:30 BTN. Kent State has Tennessee this week. The game on Saturday. Okay. So let's start with this. Did I not, on last week's show, praise the tight end Harold Fannin? Did I not last week on the show praise Connor Bazelak? Did I not on the show last week praise Malcolm Johnson? Did I not on the show say that they had five power forwards in the offensive line? Did I not say they had 32 seniors? Did I not say that Okadokun was an outstanding corner and that I really liked Hawkins and Saad and Sip on the defensive side of the ball? Said all that. Because I look, you know, you look at the tape, and when you're getting ready for a game, to me it's a game. And it's not an exhibition. It's a game. So every game brings with it different personnel, different challenges, how they go. And Scott Leffler, his career has confused me just a little bit as the head coach of Bowling Green. Because every time I'm broadcasting a game that he's involved with a team's offense, it always is a really good plan. Really good plan. I can't remember a game I've done where I didn't think he had a good plan. That's why being the head coach of Bowling Green, I think it's the sixth year. Now, maybe he loves it there. I don't know. That part I could only guess. But I really thought he'd be, with his offensive acumen, a power forehead coach. I really did. And I know on the pregame show, I praised him on the pregame show. They think this guy can flat out coach. And you could see during this game, in the first half, the quick game. Quick game. In other words, Baselik was expected to be accurate. He was. And it was catch, pitch, catch, pitch. You know, almost everything underneath. Which, of course, negates the pass rush. And the pass rush automatically is negated unless you can get your hands up because of quick game. It also means that you've got to roll up on these guys sooner. And when you're playing zone, you can really go quick game. In the second half, Penn State got better penetration, got their hands up, knocked down the ball. You know, Abdul Carter had a big knockdown. He wasn't the only one. And Penn State manned up on defense. More man coverage. Right in the grill coverage. So, Baselik, who started the game, let's see, 13. Let's see. I know what his numbers were. Let me see. Let me just check one more time here just to make sure I've got his numbers exactly here. Because he started the game 13 of 15. Because I remember specifically saying that on the broadcast, that he was 13 of 15. And that was what I thought, you know, that really stuck out to me. That's where he had started. And found it. And he ended up 25 of 39. So that means of his final 24 passes, he had 12. So he's 12 of his last 24, 50%. That's after they had made the adjustment on him. You know, in terms of how they covered it, how the line played it, and Tim Allen should get a lot of credit. You can talk about, you know, I know people are going to get upset about the first half, and look, believe me, it's 24-20 at halftime. Penn State is not winning against a game where they're the prohibitive favorite. All right? And I completely get that part. Second half, though, they only had 5 first downs. And where'd they end up? They ended up with 375 yards total. I think I've got the breakdown here. Let me see here. 375 yards total, but what was the number at halftime? I'm just one. See, we get all these breakdowns on this stuff. It's actually kind of cool to have, to be honest with you. Here you go, Way Team, a.k.a. them. So they had 62 yards passing in the second half and 27 yards rushing. So they had 89 yards total in the second half. That was it. 89 yards total in the second half. In the second half, they averaged only 3.2 yards per play. And they only had 5 first downs. So to me, that was a big part of this. Now, Penn State on first down, the entire game, I mean, you'll love this. Penn State on first down in the game, now they got to be way better on third down, way better. You can't go 2-9. Can't do that. Can't go 2-9. But on first down, where's the number here? I saw it was a huge number. Penn State had 438 in the game. And ding, 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 ding. There we go, advanced stats. Penn State had 30 plays on first down for 313 yards. They averaged 10.4 yards per play on first down. They had two running backs go over 100 yards. Singleton and Allen, second time they've done it, 38th time in the history of Penn State football to happen. And Tyler Warren did something that no Penn State tight end has ever done before. And the long lineage of great tight ends here, and I mean great, from Ted Kwolek all the way to the world of Mike Gesicki and Pat Freiermuth and people like that, Theo Johnson. He had 146 yards receiving. That's a Penn State record for a tight end. So now you're going to ask, okay, well, what's happened to Liam Clifford and Julian Fleming? Fair. Fair to ask the question. So let's talk about it. First of all, about Fleming. Fleming, I love how Fleming plays. I really do. I know he had the one catch for 3 yards, but you watch him. I mentioned the West Virginia thing last week about the two routes he ran that opened up the lane for touchdowns, one for Walls and one for Warren. You watch him block on Saturday. He's phenomenal. Gets his body in there. He's a big body receiver to begin with. Julian Fleming plays winning football. Now, would you like to see more stats accompany that? Of course you would. Would he like to see more stats accompany that? Probably, yeah. Of course, he's a receiver. But man, he plays winning football. Like, what do you people need me to do on this play to help? He plays winning football. So when you look at the pass game, game one, no doubt, Trey Wallace, phenomenal. 5 catches, 117, 2 touchdowns. Okay, Amari Evans had a couple of catches, including a 55-yarder right before the end of the half to set up the second Wallace TD. Katron Allen caught a touchdown pass out of the backfield. Tyler Warren caught a touchdown pass from Bo Prebula. So now you go to week two. Well, as we mentioned, Ola Dokun's a really good corner. It turns out that Wallace doesn't get any catches in this game. He was targeted a couple times, but he didn't get any catches. But who did get the catches? Oh, Warren. He had 8 of them. And Evans had a couple more big plays. And Singleton caught a touchdown pass. Who is the hot hand at that particular time is the one that's going to get fed. And you know they gave Wallace a lot of attention on Saturday. A lot of attention. And it opened up for Warren. And he made 8 catches for 146. He's now got 2 100-yard receiving games in his last 3 games played, going back to the Peach Bowl. And then there's Singleton. Singleton, when he came to Penn State, really, I felt, was a, quote, body catcher. Yeah, I can use my hands, but my body's that third part where, like, make sure I secure the catch. Now you look at him. Hands out in front, like wide receivers do. What does that tell you? Exponential confidence in catching the football. And that touchdown pass over the middle, boom, hands were right out there, bang. So, but as for the defense, look, the second half was a totally different story. They only gave up 3 points and 89 yards total. That was it. After a first half where let's get Bowling Green all the credit in the world. Beautiful plan, well executed, and had Penn State, you know, kind of like on their heels. Like, what is going on here? Second half is Penn State, they really put Bowling Green on its heels. Anytime you hold the team to 89 total yards and 3 points and a half, you've done pretty well. I mean, so they made the adjustment in the game. And it ended up paying off.
If you're upset, Penn State fans, it could be worse. It could be Notre Dame.
True. I know that's always going to be the refrain on this game. I mean, Oregon really had to fight. They had to get to a game-winning field goal on the final play of the game. And Texas Tech got blown out by Washington State. BYU won at SMU. Iowa lost at home to Iowa State on a field goal at the end. So look, those games are out there. So now James Franklin goes into his practice, and he's coaching from a position of strength. He's 2-0, but he's got a tape and video that show them all the elements that need to be corrected. All right? Yeah, that's a big part of it, is that you are sitting there, and instead of coaching from behind, you're coaching from ahead. So,
will they make any concessions practice-wise for the bye week?
They're not going to go. I don't think they're going Friday or Saturday. So yeah, they went last night. Today's an off day because they're always off Monday. They're definitely going tomorrow and Wednesday. I think Thursday's practice might be a coordinator's practice. Might be. We'll see. But then I think Friday and Saturday they're off, and then back to the normal routine. So that's the concession this week. Friday, Saturday off. I think. I'm 98% sure of that. I'm going to have to check with James on Saturday, tomorrow about that. Because I'm not going over there today. So, yeah. He said I was over there last night.
You're not going to relax a little bit today, are you, Steve?
I will be on a golf course.
Ah.
I'm just going to get 9 holes in. I mean, that's what I've been doing lately. I've been playing 9 holes because that's when I've been able to fit in. I'm going to fit in 9 holes because I finished grading all the projects for my class. I finished that up about an hour ago. So yeah. So we'll take a break. I mean, because I'm already ahead. I mean, to be honest with you, Todd, I sat down yesterday and I got Kent State's all done. Now I got to add in the Tennessee stuff. And then I went through with Illinois, UCLA, and USC, since those are the next 3 games after the bye week, and then updated their depth charts. So I have, for example, Valentine, the running back for Illinois, I wanted to make sure he was on the chart, things like that, you know. Just to stay ahead, so when the time comes, I'm keeping on a solid schedule. How about that? We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third-row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $1,774. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles.
We're not done.
Lease an 80 MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner, and now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Thank you.
bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The suit texted me. But don't you usually decorate in a bye week? Oh, wait, you have one later. You can decorate then. Which I usually do, because I have the time to do it. But this is in September, and there's a second bye week. I think I have two more projects I have to do this weekend. I have to shore up a fence in two spots, which I can do. It won't take long to do that, and there's probably a little bit more of a bush I want to take out, get it to the curb, because they'll pick it up next week. Yeah. Things like that, and neither one's going to take long.
It's such a glamorous life, isn't it?
Well, I'm just trying to stay ahead. I mean, that's, you know, especially I wanted to make sure that there's two parts of the fence, which are fine. It's not, but if I shore it up in those two areas, then through the wintertime, there'll be no issue with it. So that's why I'm going to do it. I have a plan. That doesn't mean anything. But this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. The great people of Purdy Insurance, and they are great people. They know exactly how to go after this and attack it. They make sure you're fully insured, and they have many ways of figuring out ways to save you money. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Okay, so did you watch Tom Brady yesterday?
No, I had it on Red Zone because that was the only way I could keep up with the Seahawks.
Oh, okay. They must have cut, though, to Brady at some point, right?
Yeah, they did once in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't sound awful. He didn't sound great.
Yeah, no. I didn't know if they made any impression on anybody. I sort of had it on in the background, but, you know, because I went to a hockey practice yesterday and I went to football practice last night, so I didn't really see much of that game.
The way it went, you probably would have been looking for something to watch in the second half anyway.
Well, I saw the score. I guess the Cowboys crushed the Browns.
Yeah. My brother sent me a call from the first call from Cleveland Sports Radio this morning, and some guy called in and gave Deshaun Watson's quarterback rating for the game and Baker Mayfield's quarterback rating for the Buccaneers yesterday. Mm. And the host just went, "We are not doing this morning. We need time to process this, and Baker Mayfield is not coming back."
Well, he is not coming back. But, again, the issue that you have is this league expects instant gratification. It is not as if Baker Mayfield did not lead them to a win in the playoffs and into the next round. He did. I think they lost to Kansas City, if I recall correctly. But he did do that. Now, is he a... Now, I'm watching this yesterday, and we all know, look, again, same story with Watson. Not quite the same circumstances as Jalen Carter. But I'm sorry. I don't need you in my organization. Hey, I don't care if you're the next coming of Johnny Unitas. I don't need you in there. I'll find somebody. Why the Browns did what they did with him, I am completely at a loss. Because remember, the information was out there about what was going on in his personal life and so forth. It was out there. Everybody knew it. And so they have a parting of the ways with Mayfield, who, to his credit, you know, he made a stop with the Rams, found the spot with the Buccaneers, and he's done well. Okay. But you're the ones. This is why, like, when you look at the organization of the Cleveland Browns and why people make fun of them, not just because of their record, but they make decisions such as these.
They even have okay quarterback play, and I think they're probably one of the favorites in the Central the way that the Central was looking in the preseason. And it's you know, I think they were looking at that. They saw those last 2 years at Tech, you know, in Houston, and they thought that was the Deshaun Watson they were getting, and that is obviously not the Deshaun Watson they got.
But, Todd, they knew what the baggage was off the field.
Care about that.
Right. But right away, to me, that disqualifies him. I don't want him. Okay? I don't want him at that point. I'll keep the guy I have. At least he's getting me somewhere. Character means something in a variety of ways. And character in one area, if you're showing it, is going to show up in the locker room. It's going to show up in a practice field. It's going to show up in a game. And he already wasn't playing well to begin with. I don't know as an organization what the heck they were thinking. I realize that Cincinnati has Burrow. Roethlisberger was at the end with the Steelers. And Lamar, of course, is with the Ravens. By the way, the Steelers have not scored a touchdown this season, yet they're the team in sole possession of first place in the AFC North. Crazy.
It doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to be effective.
Well, let me put it this way. If I'm Mike Tomlin, I make sure that in first class on the way back from Atlanta, T.J. Watt was there, and so was Chris Boswell. Yeah.
I'd be wrapping old T.J. in bubble wrap for the whole season and just unleashing him on Sundays.
Same thing with Boswell.
Wow.
Jeez, I mean, like, those weren't exactly chip shots. Indoors, yes, but not chip shots.
Be interesting to see what they do at punter. Punter was so important to them yesterday, too, and that's going to hurt them that guy got hurt. Was it Cam Johnson? Yeah.
Yeah. Fastest punter in the world. He was the holder on the Marcus Allen block that Grant Haley picked up, and Haley's got 4.3 something speed. And Johnson's like chasing him. I'm like, Jack and I are looking at each other like, this is the fastest punter alive. Yeah, the punter's the holder. You're like, he's the fastest punter we've ever seen. What the heck? Ay, ay, ay. Oh, man. Well. the Bears did win. Caleb Williams was not great. But they won. Okay. All right. Then there's Bo Nix. How about these numbers against Seattle? He was 26 of 42. Pretty good, huh? 138 yards? No touchdowns, two interceptions. But 138 yards on 42 pass attempts?
They did not go downfield a lot.
You don't think?
Nope. old Sean did not trust him to go downfield.
Jeez. 138 yards. It's nothing.
Oh.
Wow.
The one time in the second half he did throw downfield, he threw it into... There was three Seattle defensive backs and one Denver receiver, so that might have had something to do with it.
I think Adam Archuleta on TV, like when the ball was in the air, went, oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, he saw it coming.
Yeah. Well, that's why you'll listen to it, like on our broadcast. Every once in a while, Jack sees something, you'll hear, oh. Oh. And I'm looking at it, I'm trying not to say ho, but I see it too. Like, okay, this isn't good. Oh, man. And then you get 49ers and Jets tonight. Hey, very quietly under the radar, I want to mention the Penn State women's volleyball team. Because they've already won over Kentucky. They beat Louisville. They won at Tennessee. They're playing great.
I'm not sure that I realized that volleyball was this early, or was a fall sport, I guess.
Yeah, volleyball usually starts its regular season late in August. And so that's where...
I was going to say, because Wisconsin and Texas played this week, I just assumed it was a repeat. If I knew it was the regular season, I probably would have watched a little bit of it.
Oh, no. That was very much live. By the way, did you see what the Fox Big Noon kickoff game is this week? Alabama at Wisconsin. Now, why is that game the Fox Big Noon kickoff game?
Because it's Alabama and Wisconsin?
Because it's the only time they can get Alabama.
Oh, well.
The only time Fox can get Alabama on is if they're playing a Big 12 team on the road or they're playing a Big 10 team on the road. It's the only way they can do it.
The way they played the first three quarters on Saturday night, that should be kind of an interesting matchup.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, remember last year, South Florida gave Alabama all it could handle. And a lot of people after that game had a lot of questions about Jalen Milroe, a lot of questions actually about Nick Saban,
well,
because the game was in Tampa. They just didn't play well. Then Milroe, to his credit, started getting on a roll, made a big difference. So they played South Florida the other night. South Florida's coach made I perceived it as a mistake. They're down 21-13. They put together a really nice fourth quarter drive. Drive stalled inside the 10. He kicked a field goal. I think there was 6 minutes left. He kicked a field goal, Todd, to make it 21-16. Jeez, I know your defense has been playing really well, but you had not been down in that zone in a long time. I'm not so sure I don't go for it there.
I mean, when you're the underdog, field goals usually don't pull upsets.
Right. And I was like, when he kicked the field goal, you could kind of like see everybody's shoulders on the sideline go, oh, boy. I was surprised by that. In the Notre Dame game, Notre Dame late has a second and one. You know, later. I mean, the you know, they're still winning at 16-13. Or no, 16-13, 16-16, something like that. And they're sitting there, and if it's first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, maybe early fourth quarter, what's a good play there to do? Play a little play action, go deep, right? But when you're in a position where the first down keeps the clock running for you, you don't run that play. And Notre Dame ran that play. I don't know why Notre Dame ran that play. I mean, it was, first of all, Riley Leonard made a lousy throw. Flat. Didn't put any air underneath it. So it's not a great throw. All right. So it opened the door, and that allowed Northern Illinois to go down. I think it was 14-13 was the score. You're trying to keep the ball. Just get the first down. Get the first down. I mean, you want to talk about confusing? Let's see. Where does this occur? Yeah, I said 6 minutes, right?
Yeah.
5 minutes, 55 seconds to go. 5:55 to go. You need the first down so you can run off three more plays. At minimum. At minimum. And in running off three more plays, there's a chance you get close enough where you can try a field goal yourself to then, instead of, you know, because it's 14-13, to make it 17-13, which means Northern Illinois has to get a touchdown. I mean, that's the kind of play call you sit back and go, what are you trying to accomplish here? Especially in a game where you finally get the lead midway through the third quarter, and you're nursing this one-point lead the entire time. I don't know. I mean, I kind of sat there and went, what are you doing? What are you running that play? That play, when he went play action, I thought, what are you doing? Not now, not here. And Knighton picked it off and ran it back 33 yards.
Young coaches.
Yeah, but Denbrock's, the offensive coordinator, has been around the block. This is where, last year, remember Penn State played Iowa last year? And James told the offensive coaching staff, guys, let's not get too wild and crazy here. The running game is really working. Let's not abandon it. So Penn State kept running the ball, but he's the one, as the head coach, is the one that looked around and said, hey, guys, hey, let's take a breath here. What's been working? Our running game's been working great. We don't need to throw the football. Well, Marcus Freeman is the head coach. Has to maybe say to his offensive coordinator, Denbrock, hey, Mike, guess what? Good. Let's bleed the clock here. Let's let the clock work for us here. So there's enough all the way around where you sit back and go, whoa. And then there's, see what Pitt did?
Yeah, fired Heather Lickey.
I was surprised.
That seems to be the national consensus. I feel like there's a little more to it that we haven't heard, that there might be. It's just,
there has to be, because I was in Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago. I was in Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago, and whatever, you know, different topics come up, just in casual conversation before the event starts. And because Penn State was going to be playing West Virginia, somebody brought up Pitt. And it was like, well, that's not on the table for years or whatever. But then everybody said, you know what, we really like their AD. She really is like, da-da-da-da, you know, terrific. And they got rid of her.
It also sounds like a little like the Jeff Jagosinski situation at BC when he interviewed for the job and they got rid of him. She interviewed for Northwestern, it sounds like, and wonder if they were upset about that.
Could be.
But then again, they gave her permission, I assume.
And she also interviewed for Ohio State.
Well, if Pitt doesn't realize Ohio State's a step up, I don't know what to tell them.
Have you talked to those people?
Well, I know, but still.
I mean, her contract, she was in the last year of her contract anyway. Expires next June 30th. But to be honest with you, everything I heard about her was positive. I mean, everything. I'd never heard anything negative about her at all.
The story I read also said her and the chancellor disagreed on NIL, whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I don't. That doesn't sound good for Pitt athletics.
but there's another part to it too. Pitt, of all the schools, is if this settlement goes through, which it's not going through yet. All right, you're talking about $20 to $23 million in Power Four. Pitt can't come up with that money. And that could be part of this, too. I mean, like, she may have gone in there and said, maybe there's some sports that we need to, like, back off on. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that Pitt's one of those athletic departments between their TV contract, because it's the ACC, their radio contract, and the number of tickets they sell. They've got a problem financially to now cover $20 to $23 million. And I pointed that out many times, not because, oh, it's Pitt, let's make fun of them. No, I'm trying to use a concrete example of two teams in the same state who have different economic realities. That's why I've done it. So who knows if that's part of it? Don't know. Take a break. Half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.